Well, welcome back to episode 3 of season 2 of the Communication Mastery podcast. Good to have you with us. I hope you enjoyed the last episode. We're going to try to have a guest every other episode or so through this season, because we learn so much just from those conversations of what it's meant to other people to learn more about communication, to understand how to relate better to one another, and see the fruit in their lives in lots of different settings. Today, it's back to just me again, and I want to talk a little bit about communication forensics, because sometimes, very often actually, if I'm honest, people come to me because they're having a challenge with communication and they can't figure out what it is that's missing or what it is that they need to change. Of course, if you're not willing to change, then I can't really help you. But if you see an issue and you want to see it come out differently in the future, there's usually something we can do when we use communication forensics. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the tools we've got available, some of the things that we do if you find that situation in your settings, or if you know someone else who's struggling with communication. And it can be in any setting. I tend to focus most on business settings, helping teams be most effective. And my heart is very much for small and medium-sized businesses where they maybe don't have the budget to do big stuff, but they do need to have the help to be more fruitful in their own settings. And when you're a small or medium-sized business, those challenges in communication can really make a difference if they're resolved or if we find ways to address things differently. So with communication forensics, well, let me give you this week's takeaway for a first off, because this is the foundation for why I'm talking about this today. Any relationship can be improved or strengthened with help. Any relationship. It may be a relationship where you're literally at each other's throats. But if you're willing to change, if you're willing to see things in your own styles that are pressing buttons in each other, if you're willing to see where the ways that you've been doing it haven't been working, but you're willing to look at different ways to communicate more effectively, any relationship can be improved with outside help. And that's why I do what I do. So when we have a communication issue or something that needs to be resolved, and it may not be one-on-one, it may not be in a romantic relationship, or it may not be in a boss-employee relationship, it may be a work team. Or it may be a volunteer team. I've seen settings in civic organizations where the committee or the executive team have to figure out how to work together more effectively. This can apply in any group relationship. Anything more than just you on your own, these principles can apply. But where we begin with the life languages as our tool, we start by comparing profiles, because very often that can create its own aha moment when you recognize that your particular unique profile of those seven languages that we talked about a great deal in season one, and we'll talk about a great deal in season two as well, but your profile may be very different from the person or people that you're trying to relate to. And if you can understand each other's preferred communication styles, and if you can begin to learn what we call the science of communication, the needs from others and the filter questions and the passions and the character strengths that each language bring to our communication makeup, once we begin to get some insight into that, once we begin to learn how to apply those understandings, then we find that communication becomes much more effective. I like to say that you could be almost 100% more effective just by learning four facts about the seven different languages and then applying it to your own situation. Two things that I focus on if I'm doing communication forensics with a couple or with a working partnership or with a team, the two things I zero in on first of all are, what are the distress flares in your preferred languages, and how can we see them in the in the occasions when communication gets pear-shaped, when the rubber hits the road and things get difficult and we're trying to figure through something challenging? What distress flares do we see? Because those give us the keys to which languages do we need to address, which languages do we need to focus in on, where we meet the need from others, where we answer the filter question, where we find ways to reframe our interaction so that it doesn't cause distress, but instead it releases the flow of communication that every one of us is wired to not only desire, but to be able to embrace. Then the second thing that I focus in on is that need from others. If I can understand what my boss's primary need from others is, then I can be sure not to frustrate her or him by the way that I act around them or the way that I approach them. Let me give you just a simple example of that. There was one business team that I worked with. This is a year or two ago now. But there was one business team I worked with where the leader of the team, the boss, was very high in the shaper language. And so the need from others there is for agreement with the plan. The shaper language has a very strong sense of strategy and planning. But if the others in the team don't recognize that the boss is wired to measure connectivity through that agreement with the plan, and it doesn't have to be, yes, yes, boss, everything you say, boss, kind of agreement. It needs to be, I see where you're going. I see the direction we're wanting. I see the goal we're shooting for. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Can I add something? Can I suggest something? Those kinds of things. Not just a straight disagreement with the whole picture, but to express agreement. In that particular team I'm thinking of, we saw a great change as the others on the team learned to express agreement and then add their contribution. The boss learned to value them rather than to see them as opposition. It made a huge difference. So needs from others is a very fruitful place to land when we're looking at communication forensics. When there's a challenge, is there one simple thing that we can add in that will make a difference to how we hear each other and how we respond to one another in every interaction or in most of our interactions? Then the second thing I'll do with a team or a couple that are experiencing difficulties in communication is to decipher the misunderstandings, to take a step back and begin to diagnose what is it that's causing this conflict or this misunderstanding, this misconnection, if you like. Because most of us have experienced relational disconnects at a deep level at some point in our past. Maybe that's what's causing the trouble right now. There may be similarities between the issues I'm having with you with other things in a previous job or an earlier stage of my life, where this is the way you're behaving or the way I'm behaving toward you is triggering something from the past, and I need to recognize the connection so that I can sever it, so that I can catch it and not bring that forward into our present situation. So sometimes it can be very helpful to get outside help with those kinds of diagnosis. Just like you would go to a physician if you've got a physical issue, or you would go maybe to a counselor if you're having some sort of emotional challenge in your life. Same with communication. It's very helpful to get outside help to diagnose what exactly are we dealing with here. Because once we've discerned that, once we've defined it, now we can begin to provide solutions to it. So the aha moments that can often come out of those conversations can be very valuable. I'm thinking particularly of a situation a few months back where a parent came to me about a high schooler, one of their children, who was having difficulty just finding relationships and feeling like he fit in with his classmates. And so I said, well, yeah, let's see what we can do to help. Let's look at the communication settings that he's in. I began to do some coaching with this young man, recognized that he was wired to be very much to keep himself to himself. His first language was his contemplator language, so he was very comfortable in his own head, looking into things, discovering new truth. But as I began to draw out of him the fact that he's probably more intelligent than many of his classmates, that his introversion, if you want to put it that way, his internal focus is giving him insight that maybe others need, he's begun to be able to offer to those around him, to those who are becoming his friends, he's been able to offer his insights to them. He would never have seen that if we hadn't done some coaching, because the diagnosis was what led us to the solution. It can be the same in any relational disconnect that you might be experiencing or that you may see in friends or colleagues around you. There's probably some key there that somebody who's trained can help them find and then show them the simple way to unlock that door and to make communication flow again in an effective way. So deciphering misunderstandings, there's a lot of different tools that we use in order to be able to do that. One of the things I like to look at when I'm coaching teams is where individuals on that team have what we call compression of scores, where you've got two or three languages that are all very close together. That makes that person very flexible in switching between those languages, but conversely, it can make them harder to understand to those around who maybe don't have that kind of three languages together in a close range in their profile. And so when I teach them ways to bridge between languages or how to discern between the different ones that they would blend together, how to separate them out a little bit, then it's a little bit like if you've got three kids fighting in the schoolyard. If you can kind of separate them out and hear from each one in turn, now you can begin to establish what was going on, who was upset, who started it, who's going to resolve it, that kind of thing. But if you just leave them in a heap all shouting at once, you never do figure out how to resolve that. So that's one of the things, compression of scores, teaching people to learn to bridge between the languages appropriately so that others can come with you. That can help a great deal with communication forensics. But then there's another thing, and we were talking about this, I recall, on a Life Languages coaching training call just a month or two ago. And that's the overall intensity. Your profile has a score on there for your overall intensity, the energy that you have for communication and the passion to be heard or to be understood. That comes through in all of your communication in whatever language. Some of us have a higher overall intensity. Some of us are much lower. And that score actually is more important than any other. And I can think of several settings just recently where just looking at the overall intensity has helped us to diagnose where the communication misunderstandings, the communication disconnects were coming simply because one of the people on the team maybe had a high overall intensity and they were pushing hard to be heard, and then others on the team with lower intensities were being overlooked or feeling excluded or feeling like they couldn't be heard, and that was creating a disconnect. It was creating a tension within the team. If the person with the higher intensity is the leader of the team, they can learn to decelerate, if you like, take your foot off the gas, like you would do when you come into a speed limit. We have towns near us here in Myrtle Beach where if you don't keep exactly to the speed limit, the town budget will benefit from the speeding ticket that they give you. And it's common knowledge to those of us who lived here for any length of time that you really need to slow down in those places and you need to observe the speed limit. There's other places where you can get away with 9 or 10 over, but in some of these places you really have to be careful. Training people with a high overall intensity to know when to take the foot off the gas means that they don't get as many communication speeding tickets in their relationships or in their leadership of the team. Conversely, if there's people on the team who have a lower overall intensity, then it's very helpful if they can learn to sometimes put the foot on the gas, to raise their intensity a little so that what they have to offer can actually be contributed to the team's discussion or to the interaction with that one person who has a higher intensity. So we can learn to modify our intensities, just like using the gas pedal on your car to go faster or slower. We can learn to adapt or adjust in a particular setting, and that's another way that I love to help people. It's one of those key communication forensics that can make such a difference when there's a challenge, when there's a conflict. When I'm looking at groups, again, thinking more in the business setting here, we can start using tools like crosstalks. This is a more advanced tool in the Life Languages where we compare your profile with somebody else's profile and see where the challenges are coming. And so I'll sit with someone and we'll look at the crosstalks maybe in their filter question. And so I'll say to one, you know, you're coming into an interaction saying, do you have a plan? And the other person, you're coming into the interaction saying, do you really care? And then we work our way down their profiles in decreasing language order to see what they're saying in their minds as they enter into an interaction. And again, it's like, oh, okay, so that's where we're coming unstuck. It takes us three or four different languages before we're actually speaking the same language. And once we understand each other in that way, we can watch out for those pitfalls. We can watch out for the ditches beside the highway, if you like, so we don't drive into them. But we can stay on the road, we can stay on the path, so that we can achieve communication in a more effective way. Another thing that helps a great deal is a group report. And so with the businesses that I've worked with and some of the nonprofit leadership teams that I've worked with, I produce a report that gives the overall profile for the whole group. And then you can see, well, if I'm very different from the group profile, that's why in group meetings I feel like I'm more on the outside or I'm more excluded, because my profile is different. And if I'm the leader of a group, I can see who in my group is the most different from the general group profile and make sure that I take steps, appropriate steps, to include that person and to receive their input, to make sure they're heard, or whatever it is that their need from others might be. This is a very sophisticated tool, but it's simple to understand once you understand the basics. And so that's why I've loved the life languages for so long. It is so simple that you can grasp it easily, but it's so deep that you can apply it in so many different ways to resolve some of these issues and to gain benefit from the teamwork that results. Couple of other things in the communication forensics area, just to wrap it up for today. I sometimes, for a whole team, I will produce what I call a language gram, which is like a little pictorial representation of each person. Because remember, we said a lot in season one, you're not just one language. You may have a primary language. In fact, you all have a primary language, but we all speak all seven languages. And to understand how someone else is wired with a pictorial representation of these are their top three, perhaps, or the others look like this, or their overall intensities are different, those kinds of things, to put it into a very simple graphic, produce a chart for the whole team that they can stick on the desk or they can put on the door or whatever it might be, so they can refer to it, helps them to remember to adapt to one another. And again, very often, when you put it in a pictorial form like that, you can see at a glance, okay, here's the person who might be having a challenge to feel part of what's going on, or here's a person who is misunderstood by most of the group because their intensity is high and they're contributing their part, but without understanding the others around them or without adapting to the others around them. So all of these things can really help. And when we run into something that's a deeper challenge where two people are really struggling to connect with one another, but they have to for whatever reason, I've got one more tool that I call expressing my languages, where we go through a process individually and then bring the two people together to express what they have to offer in that specific setting. And usually that's best if it's kind of guided by the coach. But as they express to one another and hear one another what they have to offer, what distress or challenge they find, we can guide them through that. And very often, just being heard can bring great resolution to what has previously been a very challenging or even stressful or hurtful relationship. Provided there's willingness to change on both sides, we can make a huge difference in those kinds of settings. I've seen it work in work settings. I've seen it work in domestic settings. It doesn't work every time. There has to be the willingness, but it's a very powerful tool to really resolve where something's really come unstuck and we need to hear one another again from a fresh direction. So there's a lot of different advanced communication forensics that we can do, all of them not to be clever. If you've got an issue, you want to see a resolution to it. And if it's a specific issue, you need a specialist to help you navigate that, just as you would in the medical field or just as you would in many other fields. You know, if you have a legal case, you don't want to approach it without an attorney, somebody who knows what they're talking about. And so when we look at the challenges of communication, it can be so valuable to have these tools available and to know how to apply them to specific settings to bring a fruitful and a connected resolution, so that community grows, so that we can restore the relationship that may be causing us the challenge at work or in the community or at home, wherever it may be. So my challenge to you, remember we're going to end most of these individual episodes of this season with a challenge. My challenge to you is pick one relationship that you know could really do with improving. Pick one relationship to work on in these next couple of weeks. Focus in on that and think, how can I make a difference here? Is this a relationship where both of us want it to improve and both of us are willing to do some work to make a difference? You can apply some of the things we've talked about in this episode, or you can go to my website, click on the Contact Me button, and let's talk about how I might be able to help you see some change, see some forward movement, see some resolution to some of the challenges you're facing. Let's use some communication forensics in a place where it's really going to make a difference for you, because that will bear fruit that will last and will bring great help to your relationships. So thank you for listening. It's been a great time with you. Ask for help, and I'll see you next time.